everybody, before we go into today's podcast, I wanted to say that a new book is coming. The follow-up to Jab, 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 Right Hook, originally called Jab, 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 Left Hook, but I finally captured what I've been doing for the last 20 years as an entrepreneur, as a creator and influencer, as an operator of a marketing company that works with Fortune 5,000, 500 companies, and really the punchline of what I'm seeing in society, which is day trading attention, how to actually build brand and sales in the new social media world. I'm really proud of this book. It goes so detailed. It goes macro and micro, as I like to roll. And so if you've not picked up a copy yet, go to GaryVee.com/DTA, which stands for Day Trading Attention, the updated version of the marketing manual for your marketing team. Definitely if you have a social media person that runs your stuff, you need to get a book for them. And definitely the marketers in Fortune 500 for your staff and the entrepreneurs and creators and influencers who are trying to build something for themselves. So proud of it. Hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed putting it together. The manual that we are going to give to everybody when they join VaynerMedia to read, and hopefully the manual to the modern marketing world, and especially social media first world. Day Trading Attention out this May 2024. Pre-order your copy now. You go and get a job. You suck. You get fired. Everyone's buying your story that the boss fucked you.
Yeah.
You go start a fucking taco business and it fails. You can tell everybody why it failed. Like Taco Bell opened up across the street and it fucked me. You can come up with a lot of things, but entrepreneurs know you fucking lost. Attention is the number one asset. Vayner Nation, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Podcast with Friends, episode number 15. But I'm here with a bunch of gentlemen, which is very nice. I'll let them introduce themselves in a second. As always, big shout out to everybody on Twitch who's tuned in. If you want to listen to this podcast in real time and join us and maybe even sneak into the episode when I'm looking over at the screen, go to twitch.tv/GaryVee. Super excited about this episode. Why don't you two guys kind of kick us off and why don't all of you take 2 minutes to say hello to everybody and tell everybody what you do.
Cool. Yeah. So I'm Justin Smith. I am I'm a girl dad. I'm a bartender turned business owner. We operate six brands, restaurant, hospitality company. Grew up in Jersey. So I'm from Tom's River.
How old are you?
I'm 39.
Oh, so you're a sweet age for when Tom's River's Little League team went
so
hot.
I pitched against Todd Frazier when they were the Beast from the East and they went all the way.
That's amazing.
So my claim to fame, you know, Beachwood Pine Beach Little League, we were in the same little bracket and districts and they whooped our ass, but...
Did he crush one off you?
Oh, yeah, dude. He unreal when he was younger.
He was a very productive Major League Baseball player. He was unreal in his full career. Yeah, so, that's awesome.
Grew up in Jers, got into bartending, went to college, applied all my college towards Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm a B-Dubs fan. I love the brand. I've been in it for 20 years, and now I'm blessed to own them. So that's me, and we're sitting here.
So you're a franchisee?
Franchisee.
Of franchisors and six different brands?
Yep. So we have Starbucks, Arby's, Mellow Mushroom, Rusty Taco, Buffalo Wild Wings, and then Buffalo Wild Wings Go, which is a small takeout spinoff. So
very cool.
We're going all in the Houston market.
What are the best performing wings? At Buffalo Wild
Honey Barbecue by far.
That's because everyone's soft.
That pisses me off to no end.
Honestly, you just summed up why we're in trouble.
Yeah. Fair enough.
In one answer. Fucking honey. Get the fuck out of here with this shit.
Yeah.
Fucking just summed it all up.
Some like habanero or ghost pepper. Freaking,
no, we're fucking soft.
No. I try to mess with the hot stuff.
All right, my man.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Chris Alexa, CEO and founder of Aspire to Be Hospitality Group. Justin's our COO. We own and operate six different brands, man. Buffalo Wild Wings, where I started. Well, I started with Quiznos years ago. I didn't go to college, barely graduate from high school. Where'd you grow up? In Beaumont, Texas, outside of Houston, and grew up in a low house. Mom didn't really pay attention to me. She was busy doing other things, alcoholic, and good mother there. But I just learned it at one time watching people, man, and tried to go to college, couldn't afford it, and there was no pictures in the damn books, man. I was like, I got to get out of here and do my own thing. Was blessed to marry my high school sweetheart, which we have four kids now. And we saved every penny we had. And bought our first Quiznos, begged the bank to loan me the money. And first they said no, I didn't accept no, went back 3 months later and said, I want it. And we saved every penny, and we turned that one Quiznos into 17 restaurants as of today. And just signed a deal to do 20 more. Do want to say a two-time cancer survivor.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Yes. Two big battles that cancer tried to knock me down but didn't get me. And I do want to shout out. I got two really close friends of mine that are battling for their lives right now. I want to send a shout out to them about that terrible disease. But that's all me, man.
Yeah. Inspirational, my brother. Yeah, glad to have you guys here. For the VaynerNation, I apologize, brother. For the VaynerNation, one of the reasons I wanted these guys here is like, I really like the franchisor world. I sit on the board of Bojangles. I actually think long term, before I'm all said and done, I'd be surprised if I didn't get around to launching one as a franchisor, because I love the franchisee. And like, there's a really cool variable of franchisees being like this. They're the coolest version of entrepreneurial I see in the world, because it's not full-fledged entrepreneur. You're taking the equity from Quiznos or Buffalo Wild Wings, but almost everything else is there of entrepreneur life. And so it's one of the great models of the last 100 years in business. And so I think for a lot of people who are like, I'm going to be an entrepreneur and start my own thing, it's a lack of self-awareness that they're actually really built to crush and build an empire as a franchisee, because they're 89.7% of what is required to be, and I don't even put entrepreneur.
Because the playbook's already there.
Well, there's support. I mean, like, when you start a new hot wing restaurant and you call it Johnny's, there's no demand. Mm-hmm. So there's things that come along with it. But I don't put entrepreneur on a pedestal over franchisee. I put self-awareness on a pedestal. Mm-hmm. I don't put entrepreneur or franchisee over employee.
Yeah.
I don't put entrepreneur over policeman or mom over dad. Like, I think we've got the world so confused. Different eras have put different people on different pedestals. Sure. I watch people yell at airplane pilots for being like 10 minutes late and getting on the plane, whereas 40 years earlier, people were asking them for autographs because they were the coolest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit just changes.
Yeah, you're lucky based on when you're born.
Correct. When I was growing up, how old are you?
I'm 50.
Perfect. Yeah. I'm 48. Like, you know, my report card's up there. We're in the same game. When we were growing up, entrepreneur didn't exist.
It didn't.
You had to go to college or you were a fucking loser.
Yeah, my mom wanted to be a flight attendant. Bad. That was her dream before she.
Well, see how handsome you are. She probably fit the part.
But you know the days of two, when you're 48, I'm 50, and then when I was younger, I used to really look up to mailmen too. I thought those were like the coolest people, dude.
Yeah,
like, man, those guys, you know, work hard. They walk that walk that far.
Do you think entrepreneur is getting kind of a bad look right now?
I think it's
so saturated.
I think it got into a place. Look, it got so cool, which is so cool to me as someone who grew up being entrepreneurial. But do I believe it's been watered down? Of course I do, because now people, much like rappers or athletes, it became so cool, rock stars, that everybody wanted to be it, but not everyone is good enough to be a professional athlete. Not everyone is meant to be an entrepreneur. And what I don't like about it, it's very emotional to me. I think going for entrepreneurship and failing in it is a very vulnerable mental state. Because unlike when you get fired from a company, you always just blame the boss, and everyone's like, the boss was a dick.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But when your company fails, you lost. And people struggle with losing in front of people. And so if you're not meant to do it, and then you go and do it, because you know what you're going to do when you're not meant to do it? You talk too much shit. You're like, I'm going to fucking build the, right?
That's a stupid industry. Yeah. I shouldn't have never coffee shops or farmer.
The bigger thing is that I'm worried about is you talk shit to all your friends. Like, what are you getting a job? You're so stupid. I'm going to build the next Facebook. And then you're 26 and it fails. And now you have to face the music. And a lot of people don't have the mental strength and they go into very dark places.
Yeah.
And so I worry about it being cool because it's so merit-based. Again, I'll say it again. You go and get a job. You suck. You get fired. Everyone's buying your story that the boss fucked you.
Yeah.
You go start a fucking taco business and it fails. You can tell everybody why it failed. Like Taco Bell opened up across the street and it fucked me. My employees stole. You can come up with a lot of things, but entrepreneurs know you fucking lost.
Yeah.
And so that's something tough. Anyway.
No, to me, entrepreneurship is just fucking pain. It's like feeling lots of pain and fighting through it. It's so much fun.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Like,
and being okay with losing, you know, and being okay with loss, being okay with falling.
You lose every single day.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah. Anyway, say hello to everybody. Tell everybody who you are.
My name is Vinay Manda. I'm originally born and raised in Dubai. Lived here for 13 years. I'm still waiting for my green card, so if anyone can give me a green card, please fucking help me. One day.
I'll you never know what's going to happen on this
true.
Show.
Yeah, it's true. I'm the co-founder of a company called Blank Street Coffee. We started post-COVID. We're an 80-store coffee chain, mostly UK East Coast, and for lack of a better word, we're trying to build the next Starbucks.
It's really cool, man. It's fun to watch.
Thank you.
Blank from Street afar.
State. Yeah, 80 locations, right?
80 stores, yeah.
Freaking badass.
And the first one opened when, brother?
First one opened in August of 2020. But the initial business was mobile carts.
We were building
these electric battery-powered carts. Fucking shit show.
Yeah.
It is a franchise model, though, right?
No, fully company owned.
Well, we already tried to
Yeah. We'll do a deal.
You guys are definitely. Yeah.
They're always looking. Like, yeah, exactly.
They found out we had a Starbucks.
He's like, no, we're not. I think a lot of people are going to resonate both live and then, you know, the millions that will listen over the next 5 years on, yeah, as this gets strung out. Like, why were, if it, it in as quickly or as concisely, it doesn't even have to be quick, and why do you feel that you were able to, in such a short period of time, get that many locations working?
Being very honest with you, when we started, it was COVID. The New York was dead. You're just desperate for outdoor experiences. So the initial product, which was like, it's electric battery-powered coffee cart, it was so different. It was just so easy to draw customers. We're just like a green, beautiful pistachio cart when all the other carts were like halal carts
with
propane. And we got very lucky. Off the back of that, we raised a stupid amount of money. And then three months. But COVID, 3 months after we raised the money, it all failed. So we're like, fuck, now what?
But you had the money.
But we had the money.
And as you know, and you're being very, I love you for being like, we got lucky. Luck is a funny game for anyone who's achieved anything. Mm. But what you're absolutely right about is, clearly I understand, I think, what you're saying, which is, you know that timing on that is insanity because you know what's going on right now. Money got expensive.
Yeah.
Interest rates are up. And you would have never gotten that valuation, that money, if that was literally happening right now. Yeah. But on the flip side, you had the courage to go on offense during a time where a lot of people wouldn't. Which is why luck is so interesting to me, right? Yeah. Like many people were sitting and going,
is it luck or timing though?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I would say those are kissing cousins. Yeah. But why I always, I think a lot of people weaponize luck on people when they're not getting theirs.
Use it against you, man.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So the reason I'm breaking it down a little bit is, cool, and I respect that. And look, I could have been born in an era where the internet was not emerging.
Yeah.
But then my brain also goes to, but if I was the same human, it would have been I would have been a cable television magnet, or I would have been like, I would have been Ted Turner, you know what I mean?
Shoemaker.
Exactly. Yeah. Or I sold Schmata. You know, if you are you, you play in every generation. The opportunities would have been different.
Yeah.
I think it's important to say out loud, but you and who. You have partners?
I have one co-founder,
You and your co-founder had the courage to go on the offense during a very murky time. Yeah. Yeah. We all just lived it. And if you were in business and you lived it, you guys definitely knew. Yeah. There was a lot of defense, a lot of thinking. It was hard, you know, now when you're starting something new in that environment, that takes a lot of guts, but cool, brother.
What's up, team? I'm Devin LeVake. Man, where do I start? I got sent to military academy down in Pennsylvania, Valley Forge, when I was 16, and then kind of been around here since in this New York area.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Yeah, New Hampshire and Idaho.
And you got sent there because you were a bad kid?
It's kind of, my dad passed away, so they couldn't find structure, and they're like, you're going to go there. And so got tricked into going there.
How old was your dad when you passed?
50, suicide.
And you?
I was 16.
Wow. Oh, so it happened, they moved you.
Yeah, in sync, it was crazy. So that changed my life. That was probably the most, I start with that because that was the most pivotal point of my life. And then, you got to figure it out. I have four sisters and, grew up on a farm. I don't know the city, but came down here and made the most of it. Ended up bear crawling the New York City Marathon in 2020. And that was probably the first big thing I did too.
What do you mean by bear crawling the marathon?
Bear crawl, all fours. All fours. Took me 20 hours, 48 minutes, was doing it for suicide prevention and mental health. So finished that. We ended up raising $1 million in that 24 hours. And then John Cena came in and matched it, which was really cool. So now we help veterans transition out of the military into civilian life. About 27 veterans a day take their life. So that's a big part of me. And I do a lot of philanthropy work. So, with that, I started a company with my partner, Albert, farm to table supplements. And so it's called ProMix Nutrition. We do about 50,000 orders a month now after 3 years. And it's doing well, man. You know, our returning customer is there about 80%. And I think it goes to show like people want clean ingredients. So off of that, you know, the how I was doing the marketing with community, in-person meetups, social, telling people stories that were taking the supplements, it kind of took off. So I created a marketing company off of that called And Gather, which is a smaller version of Vayner, but we specifically focus on health and wellness. And kind of with all that, I tell people I live life for a living. I'm in the middle of doing the highest point of each continent. So I've summited highest point in Antarctica, Africa, South America, and in 3 days I leave to go attempt and summit Mount Everest.
Yeah, what just happened?
I don't know. It was this morning. I was on the farm. I fucking fell. Something to do with the cows. It's always something.
Fucking jammed it playing basketball yesterday at 6 a.m. Really fucking.
This is like when we played in the freaking Madison Square. Remember, I was getting tackled.
Of course.
It was insane.
That's because you're very good and most of us weren't, and we were trying to find.
They were tackling me.
We were trying to find ways to stop you, which was very hard.
It was great, though.
Big shout out to everybody in the chat. I see it from the corner of my eye exploding. All right, man, we're going to go back around. Would love to take this in the following direction. Obviously, all of you, that was very interesting going around the circle. Would love to know with you two guys, and you can both take the mic on it, the thing, not the thing that's like keeping you up at night from a negative standpoint. Let me frame it in this way. Not the thing that's got you most anxious or concerned, but the thing that's like in your stomach and an itch that you're trying to figure out how to fully scratch. So the reverse of what's keeping you up at night, what's keeping you up in the morning? You know, like what's that thing right now and currently in your mind that you're like, maybe even by me asking the question, it might go from your subconscious to your conscious. The thing that you like want to get to or like, I'll give you mine to give you context. Mine wouldn't be something I hadn't done. Mine was, and Dustin, you're gonna laugh, it was finally, very recently, after years, I figured out how to make local ads on social, Facebook and Instagram specifically, for my dad's liquor store, for people to actually go to the liquor store.
Nice.
It was like a nagging, maybe like a knot.
Because you're doing it for all these big companies, but like, how can I help this one local?
And like, I just couldn't, like it was sitting there, wasn't keeping me up at night, it's not like it was gonna go out of business, but it was an itch I wanted to scratch. What right now in your business life, instead of going super heady with it, in your business life, or you can go heady with it, is an itch you're trying to scratch, or something you're trying to figure out, or something you're excited about, like finally completing?
So it's easy for us. So we started a podcast a year and a half ago, People Bring Profits, and 20 years experience in the franchise system. We're constantly talking with people about how to open a restaurant, or should they take this swing, or should they try it, and how do they get engaged, and all of the things that it takes to start a business. And the itch is, we're just sitting having conversations of how that went for us through building our restaurants, for who to talk to, how to, you know, all of that playbook that you say the franchisor gives us, giving those nuggets to people, and figuring out ways to get it to a broader audience is something that's been the itch that I think about in the morning, because we're constantly talking about people go, man, that content's great. We love it. We learn so much. I'm doing this.
How to grow the audience of it.
How to grow the audience.
How to make the podcast bigger.
Yeah.
That's exciting to you.
That makes sense.
I think, you know, on top of that, just what Justin just said, the itch that I have is the same thing. And we had this conversation before you started. You know, the CEO of the company, you know, I'm, you know, we just signed to do 20 new stores. So I'm focused on growth, but then I have to put myself back in operations.
Right. Because you said you have 19 right now?
We have 17 stores
right,
open right
now. And
you
decided to add 20.
Yeah. We decided to add, and we're opening 2 a year. We've been doing that. And we've been doing that. But now it's 17. I mean, it first started out me and my wife.
Of course.
You know, then I brought this guy on, then we brought Tina. We have a staff of about 10 leaders in our office that run the stores and regional managers. But when I pulled away, and we want to give back, man, I do a lot of give back. Shout out to you. My wife's mother committed suicide when she was young. And I remember it happened in 8th grade, and I was in class with her when she found out. It's terrible. But shout out to you for doing what you're doing for that. It's amazing. Because I know the struggle she goes through. But yeah, it's part of that. We try to give back, but then when I pull away from operations, things start to fall a little bit.
Yeah,
so
bro.
It's a balancing act, right?
Of course.
So we want to do the podcast. We have so much stuff that we want to do out there. But then when he pulls away and we got to do two podcasts we're shooting this week, well, then something those bad happens
two,
to the store.
Yeah, those are two and a half. Like, and, there's only 24 hours.
And like I said, you got those a hard two, stop, man. And you got a family to raise. I got four kids. I got a wife, you know, to have a personal relationship
for everybody
with.
Who's listening to the podcast, what he's referencing is before we went on the air, we were all just chopping it up, getting ready. And I was kind of pseudo apologizing that when they all sat down, I was still on my laptop just trying to get one more thing done. But I was also explaining to them that like I'm in this place right now where unlike the Gary Vee that everybody saw from 2015 to 2020, where I was traveling so much, doing a lot of public speaking, doing a lot of networking, doing a lot of things while I was running VaynerMedia, post-COVID, VaynerMedia and VaynerX, the company that holds all the companies, is three times bigger. VeeFriends is now a monster company that I have deep passion to make a Pokemon Marvel-like business. That in itself could take up 24 hours a day for the next 50 years of my life and still probably fall short of my ambitions for it. I own a pickleball team now. I have this, I have that, I have a fund. There's constantly everything. And what I was saying to them is I'm being challenged to make content the way I want to. Because, and you know, and Twitch, you all know this, you see it every day. I'm just sitting here for fucking 12 hours.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Like 12 fucking hours. So, you know, I think I couldn't understand you more. You're trying to do the right thing on give back and brand building. You're no dummy. You didn't get here by accident. You know the podcast is lead gen and other things.
Yeah.
And maybe all the franchisees of your future franchisor, right? That's a natural thing I would be thinking about at your level. But fuck, now you decided to double down and double.
Yeah.
And like that's gonna get you back to some of the dirt work.
But then you gotta get in there and high five your employees. Yeah. You gotta check on your stores.
Of course.
And then, I mean, if you remember from our last podcast that we had your guest on, you challenged me to do my own brand.
Yes.
So that's in my brain too, right?
Notice I just brought it up again.
It's an itch.
Of course, because like look, once you achieve goals, and geez, you two, like all of you, us included, brother, we're young enough that we're gonna achieve certain goals and set new ones.
Yeah.
And by the way, that new one may be the extreme of giving back and completely not being entrepreneurial. That one might be burnt out from giving and building and actually take a decade on just yourself. Like, I have wild extreme versions of how it's gonna play out for me. Either it's gonna be this to the end, and I talk about that publicly a lot. Like, I don't see a scenario where I'm not working because work is my play. But I'm very open to just waking up at 63 one day and be like, you know what? I'm just gonna garage sale on the weekends and Monday through Friday hang out with my family and like I'm gonna take up golf even though I didn't never wanted to and or I'll play pickle or I'll play basketball. Like I'm open to either extreme.
Those are like two total polar opposites.
And that's cool. Me. Yeah. And that's me. I know one thing that's always worked for me is I don't have a middle. Right? School wasn't for me, D's and F's. I had the intellect.
Yeah.
I could have figured out, I could have done homework. I chose not to. What I do now, extreme the other way, true hard work all the way, but that's because I like, the reason I even noticed that, and the reason I'm like pumped about this, is I like the work.
Oh yeah.
I don't like the trophies. I don't like, I'm fine with the accolades being put on a pedestal when entrepreneurship is cool.
Yeah.
Money, I'm fine with it. Boy, is it not my passion. My passion is the process.
I'm totally
it's
cool
the fucking
with,
game.
Yeah. I am totally cool, and I tell people this, like, man, if everything was taken away from me and I fell on my face right now, I'd still be, man, I still got my skin. I'm good. I still have my body. I still have my head.
It's called perspective.
I'm good.
It's called perspective.
Take everything away. That actually might jack me up a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think so too. I understand, my friend.
It's a struggle.
Yeah, I get it. And honestly, it's a blessing.
It is.
One way to position it, and I agree, I was just saying it. It's a struggle. The other is, could you believe that you got to live a life? Could you? Given from where you come from.
Oh, heck no.
Could you imagine if I rolled on set up on seventh grade you and said, let me tell you what your headache is at 50.
Yeah.
You're about to double up your 17, 19 locations and build 20 more stores. And you're debating the balance of having a wife that you is going to be the girl in your class that you like.
Yeah.
That's going to be your wife. You have four children. You're going to have 17 stores and you're going to do 20 more. Yeah. And you're debating if you should do podcasts. Like, you're going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about, Gary Vee?
Yeah.
You would have paid anything for. And that's back to what you're saying. I always say, do not complain about beds you created that you dreamed of.
You asked for it.
Do
man.
Not,
you asked
right?
for it.
Right?
I do want to say that I do, my wife and everybody picks me at the office. I complain about it right now and kind of internally in
like
the
a
head,
fake way.
But out loud, I don't. I live, like you said, I live the best life. My wife said, "How do you live up there in the unicorn and rainbow world?" I said, "Because I love it up there. That's where I enjoy to stay, even in the negatives." Like you said, I don't focus on trophies, man. I focus on my losses.
Yeah.
That one football game that I lost in Little League football, I go watch that game and see what mistake
I
made.
That shit too.
Yeah. I mean,
why do you think
I win? It's just a win.
Why do you think I love the Jets and Knicks so much?
Yeah. I love the losing.
All right, brother. What's the itch you want to scratch? This question. What's on your when you heard me ask it at them, and you knew you'd have a few more seconds to think while they were talking? What popped up?
So, I've had this really scary fear that my goal is way too high. I know I'm not going to ever get there, and it's being accepting that it's not possible to get to that goal and still being happy. Is that the right answer?
Yeah.
I'm saying like it's not like a specific itch. It's just that I know I'm going to never achieve what I want.
Are you in a similar place like me that is like exciting?
Yeah.
Yeah, because like when I came up with, I want to buy the New York Jets. I was in fourth grade. Yeah. I don't know if I really even knew what that meant. All I knew was, maybe unlike you and you, I was like starting to realize where my athletic prowess was, which was like, I was crafty and I had good hand-eye coordination, but I was starting to understand size, speed, and athleticism.
Yeah.
And I was like, uh-oh, I don't think I'm going to play in the National Football League. Yeah. Big shout out to Wakil Shaw and David Johnson and Rasheed Courtney in Edison, New Jersey. You were the boys that made me realize I might not be going to the league. When I got older, I was like, oh, this is a big goal.
Yeah.
And then especially the last 15 years where the values of sports were, you know, when I was a kid and had nothing, a couple hundred million seemed more achievable in some ways than what, like the acceleration of it, right? But I'm happy that my silly goal professionally is like so big because it kind of lets me keep playing.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. But if you never buy the Jets, you'll be fine.
In a way that's like...
Yeah. But you will buy it, so...
Yeah, and then if I don't, like, honestly, back to, like, I think a lot. I get excited about the day when somebody else buys it. I dream about it a lot. I dream a lot about someone else buys it and me making my first piece of content, because obviously I'm going to be known for... I'm already known for this. And just explaining to people, like, how pumped I am for her, whoever bought it, and how, like, two things. One... I didn't pull it off. Like I had time.
Yeah.
I could have invented Facebook. I could have invented, I wasn't good enough in the scheme of it.
Yeah.
And that like, and cool. But I went for it and I was good enough for a lot of other things. And like, now I'll try to buy the Knicks. I think it's an incredible, my hope is that it's a tremendous deposit to society. If I'm bigger and big enough that a lot of people are affected by me believing that I will, and then I don't, and then me explaining of how okay that is and why this makes me happy, it might be a positive deposit to a small group of people in the world. And so, you know, I really want to. Like, I sit here, like, what I just said isn't the cop-out and or the, like,
I still want to do it.
Oh, in an insane way.
Yeah.
Like, VFriends is because of, like, VFriends has so much to do that. I want to leave a positive deposit on society through these characters, but I also know that if I build a Pokemon or Marvel, I'll get there. Yeah. Right? Like, so, no, I love having a huge goal that's hard, and I'm incredibly okay with failing at it, but I'm not okay with not trying.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right, so I think recently, man, as I'm getting my mind ready for Everest, my mind has changed a little bit in regards to, you know, my businesses are set up. I put CEOs at the farm, at, you know, ProMix, at And Gather, at the ranch, at, you know, all these different ventures I'm in. Like, it's set. It's like things are set up. And I think internally what's constantly going through my mind is this quote from Marcus Aurelius: the nearer a man comes to a calm mind, the closer he is to real strength.
100%.
And so I'm constantly trying to be present and calm my mind down so it's not thinking of 30 different things at once, because I had calmness about, I want to say, 6 weeks ago at this thing I did. And it was the coolest thing to, you know, I don't want to sound too hippie, but like I was staring at a tree and I was like, man, I wonder how this bark grows. And I was like, holy shit, Dev, you're only thinking about this bark right now. You're not thinking about anything else in life. Like, and I have a million things going on, but I could be present. And then I talked to my girlfriend. I was like, Nina, I was like, I'm talking to you right now. I'm not even thinking about 30 other things. I'm like, this is the ultimate motherfucking happiness is having a calm mind. So whatever's keeping me up at night, it doesn't keep me up at night anymore. Even before bed, if I'm aligning my body, my spirit, my inner child, right? Who you were before you were 12, and my intellect, the brain, like what's talking inside. If I can align all those four things, then it calms my brain down. And I can only think about one thing, and that's sleeping, mm-hmm. right? And so that's what I'm focused on lately.
I think it's a really powerful thing to focus on. It's funny, I always, you know, obviously the modern man and woman and the way the world is now are talking about the things you're talking about. When I was your age, there was no conversation around spirituality or mindset, mm-hmm. like just, you know, it didn't exist. But it was always so natural in me, I didn't even have words for it. I just knew that I was like so grateful that like, that I didn't care. Right? Yeah. I didn't know what stoicism was. I didn't know right. what mindfulness was. I didn't know what spirituality was. I'd never heard of these words. I'm so grateful that so many people are talking about these issues now. I'm worried that a lot of people talk it but don't live it.
Right, yeah.
Like the posturing that I see from so many youngsters that are cold plunging or grounding and or reading wonderful things and they talk it, but I know them well enough to know they're not living it.
Right.
That concerns me because that gets into makeup.
Is it just for the gram? Is it correct? Is this going to be, you know, just
even tricking themselves?
Yeah.
You know, the gram is the obvious first level. The second level that I get more concerned about is doing it for their inner circles, and then the third one is the scariest of them all. You're lying to yourself.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of that, by the way. 100%.
You know, you're that, my friend.
I'm guilty of that.
Tell 100%. Me. Yeah. Talk.
Yeah. No. It kind of happened because I grew up Hindu.
Yes, of course.
So my parents like preached
really about that life
onto me.
Yeah,
and then I really rejected it for a very long time.
Of course, it's cliche.
It's cliche. Yeah. And then I did a lot of inner self work last year, but it's all gone now. And all I did for last year is preach it onto everyone else, preach it onto my family, teach my parents about it, and kind of reverse back onto them. But I
it takes
completely
work.
Stopped all these things.
Yeah, and like, look, you're not going to work out for a week.
You mean, I apologize. You mean that as we sit here today, you've been unable to sustain that perspective?
Yes. Yeah.
And do you feel like it's just because you're busy and you're focused?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But every year I get 5% closer to that goal. So it's a lifelong
journey
anyway.
This goes back to like a thing that's, what's so fun about, when I dreamed up this concept, I dreamed up this. Different people, different things, but like finding like a common language within the episode.
Yeah.
What's so interesting about what you're talking about right now is the double clicking into that. I'm trying to figure out how that state is part of the way one operates. Meaning there's...
Does it translate over to other...
Actually, yes, but let me say it this way that I think may... When meditation started to gain momentum about 6, 7, 10 years ago in social circles... Yeah. People started asking me like, do you meditate? And I would say no. But I would always say, especially because I was like happy that who was asking me, I was like, I don't, but I'm pumped you're starting. I remember very vividly. And then I would go through it. And then out of, you know how like you say things that like, you're finally like, oh my God, I don't actually even remember the conversation, but I remember the feeling of this. Then for the first time ever, somebody said, do you meditate? And I said, no, but I feel like I'm always meditating. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, over drinks, dinner. I don't remember where I was, but I fucking remember it was about 5 or 6 years ago. It was like halfway through these last 10 years of meditation being out there. And it's kind of going to where what you just said, and I don't know how to connect the dots, which is why I'm talking it out right now on the podcast. Mm-hmm. What I want for you is like what I think I might be going on with me, which is like in parallel, similar to what you said in a different way. You said, I'm so pumped that I'm so present and like I'm so here. A lot of people talk to me about that being a good thing I do with them because I am that way. Yeah. It's almost because there's a secondary thing going on with me at all times that there's an operating system of calmness.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe I'm meditating at all. It's almost like I can almost feel it as I'm talking to you all now that I'm talking to myself in the backdrop of around gratitude.
But is that meditation or is that flow state?
You know, I'm not educated enough of what's the current definition of flow state.
Flow state is when you lose a sense of time and you're just in the zone and time passes and you don't even know time is passing and you're doing it and it just comes so easily. It's like
I would call it understood. I would say I flow state a lot. It's kind of like how I do things. Yeah. I would say it's an oxygen version of, it's a continuous macro flow state.
I like that.
Whatever it is, whatever I'm doing.
But you feel good.
In a way that's weird. Meaning like, in a way that like, I'm a human being. In a way of, in nanoseconds, of, like in a way where every time something negative is popping up, and I have many of those things, the sustained stress or anxiety is so short compared to what on paper it looks like, that somewhere within, definitely within the hour, if it's something extreme, but usually within the minute, if it's the normal shit that people stress about for months, I'm able to get to a place of like, this just does not matter. And as long as everyone's healthy, you know, I'll use, dad, I'm sorry about this, but I'll use something. My father will sit and dwell and struggle with something for years. That is, that when I am faced with these same exact thing, sometimes is about a minute and 9 seconds. And I think about that a lot.
Do you think you fell on your face more than your dad?
I think we both probably, I know enough about my dad's childhood to say that we probably fell on our face. I probably fell on my face more, but I had a cheerleader of of pure optimism in a mother that coincided with all that losing, selling stuff, not selling it, losing in sports, getting bad grades. Like I had so much losing. I love it. So like it's so easy for me to deal with. I also will say that in the analogy that I'm using, I really genuinely don't value other people's opinions of me without context. And I think that gives me a real peace of mind that I wish for others.
I feel the same way reframing. Basically what I hear is you know how to reframe anxiety into excitement. Because generally speaking,
or at least acceptance.
Right? Acceptance.
I would say not, you know, like to me, we've lost our way with being comfortable in discomfort.
Exactly.
Yeah. I live in that.
Go ahead.
I fucking love it.
It's interesting. So my dad's like your dad. He ponders these things for hours. I could get over things in 5 minutes. But he grew up in absolute poverty. Like straight up 11 people, 2 bedrooms. And he still has these issues.
Yeah.
Like, but he struggled 10x more than anyone I know.
My mom and dad both did as well. Soviet Russia was very, very poor. But what's fascinating to watch them both is that my mother's the complete opposite of my dad. My mom also lost her mother at 5. Lost her dad to going to jail for 10 years because that's how the Soviet Union ran. My father had an adverse childhood. My father lost his dad at 15. My parents grew up in the Soviet Union, which is closer to North Korea than it is Iran. You couldn't leave.
Yeah.
So they both grew up in extreme adversity, but they're incredibly different in their perspective in the world, which goes into DNA and goes into parenting and goes into many other factors.
Let me ask you a question, both of you guys, which are all of you were talking about, you know, when you go to the pain level, right? Like the discomfort level when you're having meetings about your businesses. I feel like I do this, like I'll hear a negative something. I mean, the restaurant business, COVID hit, all this negatives that we hear. I go to a place that might bug me for like the pain might last 5 minutes or the negative, but then I go completely ready to fix it in a positive way. You know, I don't let it bother me. I don't let it itch me.
You're solution oriented.
It's like, I feel like any entrepreneur, any business owner, you have to move on.
Successful one.
You got
to walk. The reason most people fail is they don't have that capacity.
And that's where I see this, the one percenters, right? That are truly successful. The people that I really watch are those ones that go in those conference rooms and they hear that negative, but they can walk out of there with the pause, with their chin up high, and their staff looks at them, their people look at them like, holy crap, if he's not worried, then let's get behind him. You know, when COVID hit us in the business and we talk about that negative, our team was like looking at us like, holy crap, what are we gonna do? We have to close all our restaurants down, go take out only. Buffalo Wild Wings didn't all take out, really. That's gonna be hard to do. And I walked in there and said, hey man, we gotta figure this crap out. It's like Apollo 13, let's figure it out.
Yeah.
And let's go. We're gonna be the best takeout business that Buffalo Wild Wings could ever offer.
Thrive in chaos and
be obnoxious about it.
And more importantly,
and our team followed us, man. They ran with it.
And more importantly, like, it's very simple. It's a binary game in that scenario. Like, what were you gonna do?
Yeah.
You're either gonna cry and dwell and go out of business, or you're gonna hack your way into a solution.
Figure it out.
That's it.
That's right.
That's the part I tell a lot of people. I'm like, you don't understand. Your reaction to everything is the outcome.
Yeah.
If you decide the world's fucked up right now, I have a news alert. Nothing that's gonna happen is gonna deviate you from that. If you believe things are fucking epic, it's a shocking news alert. Life is how you see it.
Yeah, it's also like expectation 100%. Versus intention, right? If your expectation is to, we're gonna do $10 million in revenue this year, or is my intention, we're gonna serve the best motherfucking wings at Buffalo Wild Wings this year.
Very well said.
You know, so like, if your intention is that, those stressors are constantly out the window and you're just leading life with a, you know, more present being, you know, throughout the day and less stress. The anxiety goes away because you're like, we did 8 million, but we still delivered the wings.
Man, this is what gets me into why I spend so much of my content asking people, for whom? For whom are you living? Like, I believe the reason so many struggle with the things that we're talking about is they overvalue the opinions of others, whether it's their parents, whether it's people on stream, whether it's their buddy, whether it's their wife, child, sweetheart. Like, and I understand that. It's a human trait.
Right.
My argument is the more you can get out of that behavior, the better this thing gets. Because my big thing is like, the thing that always came natural to me is like, I used to say it very crassly in my teenage years when I told my, I've been always this person. I would, when somebody was like, I was like, I remember kids like crying. Like, I was really bad at school. But I had a lot of friends who did decent, some really who were trying to really achieve in school. And they'd be upset. They'd be like, you know, Keith got an A and I got a B. I'm like, but Keith sucks at wiffle ball. and what I was trying to do, to all my friends was like, everybody's good and bad at shit. Yeah. Like, look at me. I got an F in German, but I sold $4,000 worth of baseball cards this weekend at the Phillipsburg Mall. And I have a funny feeling that's going to work out for me.
I can almost guess though, this is what goes through my brain from a competitive standpoint. If you tell me to what teams, what's NFC division, this division, like I am so bad with this stuff, man. I'm the worst from a competing standpoint, except against myself. I want to make sure I'm competing against Devin from last year and the year before and the year before. And I feel like you're very similar to that. Like, or do you look at competitors?
No, it's wonderful. I actually have, that's very interesting. I have a different variation than where you think I'm going. It was funny when you're saying that. I love that about you. You're competing with yourself. You're not competing with others. I love competing with others. I don't compete with myself. It's one of the reasons I'm not good at in the gym. I don't give a shit. Like, I'm doing some real weight now for me. Like, fucking 80 pounds. Like, shit that I can't believe. Let's go, baby. You know, like, I'm big shout out Mike Vacanti. I'm like stunned what I'm doing in the gym. When I tell you I get no joy, he's like so pumped when I do a new, he's like, that's a fucking all time, that's a personal best. I'm happy that I'm like in the gym. Like, I'm happy that I'm putting effort into something that doesn't come natural.
Yeah.
But when I tell you, could give a fuck, me versus me, love competing against everyone, but in a very healthy way. Similar to the story I just said about this fictional woman that bought the Jets. But if someone beats me, I respect them. Like, I feel like I'm Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know how like he like just was willing to die? He's like, fuck it, I'm not good enough anymore. Darth Vader, kill me. That's how I am as an entrepreneur. Like, one of the things I most disrespect in capitalism and entrepreneurship is when the OG lion gets old and then takes his money and starts to change the rules and pay off politicians to change laws to protect his business because he's not strong anymore. Yeah. I'm like looking forward to youngsters killing VaynerMedia because they're just hungrier and they're better lions. I like sports. I like when Muhammad Ali like lost to Trevor Burbick in 1983 in the Bahamas and nobody even knows that fight existed. Like, and he lost to a very solid fighter. Like, as the greatest. And like, that's because that's how sports works. That's what I like about competition. I love the game more than I love what the game gives me. Thus, I'm willing to lose the game and not be petty about it. But I love competing.
So then, where does you not giving a fuck about others' opinion come in?
Oh, that's just me. Like, to your point, that's where it goes a little bit more with me. I'm not worried about like people being like, Gary, VFriends isn't as good as they, like that's fine. That's more me being like annoyed that I'm not good enough to make VFriends as big as Pokemon.
Right.
That's where I'm with myself a little bit. Okay. But I still wanna, but I do get off very heavily on like the one-to-one thing. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's a game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like when people are like, people demonizing competition over the last 30 years has fucked up society. Think about life, games are fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean, put me on a quarter field. I mean,
I've
fucking competing.
You.
Yeah, I'm competing. But I would say, like, I think, you know, what I was saying, it's more in business. Like, you know, I'm more competing against myself and my business from last year versus, like, I mean, I see it from a high level. What other, you know,
supplement now I understand what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? Sorry, that's different. I am proliferally also aware that I have competitors, but I spend no time on that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's different.
Right.
I interpreted that different.
Okay.
I think that's very healthy. I think a lot of entrepreneurs get fucked up by spending all their energy on another entrepreneur or company in their sector. I'm very similar. You're right. That I'm the same way.
Right.
But I do enjoy competing heavily in business.
All day.
Yeah.
Yeah, all day.
What else? Cards? Oh, yeah. Open up a pack.
Let's do a card.
Card segment time. Thank you, Dust. Open up a pack of V-Friends. Look at the cards. Yep. Look at the cards and pick. Nope. We're going to do something different. I want you to look at the cards and look at which character most relates to you. And then I'm going to ask you to pick one category, one of the characters. I'm going to go here today. And I'm going to ask you why. Mm-hmm. I like the thought going into this. You ready?
I know the word well. All
right. Go ahead. Which is which character are you most going with?
I'm going Gracious Goose.
Because of the gracious part or the goose part?
The gracious part.
Okay,
I'm a Grizzly VF1 holder.
I love that.
Obsessed with graciousness. Listening to y'all too, I gave up alcohol 12 years ago, and I'm obsessed with the accountable ant. So accountability, I think, has the ability to level everybody up.
100%.
And the story is yet to be told of that
word. Proud
of
you, brother.
Got the shoes on.
Proud of you.
The gracious goose or any form of that, I'm just very, you know, happy and blessed to be here. I'm a huge fan. And V-Friends is that vice for me and the obsession awesome. Of you come into my office, it looks very similar to yours.
You're amazing.
And I love talking about the soft skills and influencing others and getting them just as bought into these things.
Thank you, brother. So, I'm humbled by that.
Oh, yeah.
What are you going with, bro?
I'm going to go with the wild boar.
Okay.
Yeah.
More because you're a wild boar?
Because I'm wild. You know, I'm just wide open all the time.
I'm a wild boar.
Man, I'm a wild one. You know, I just feel like I'm wide open, you know. I just feel like it's, you know, I'm straight ahead at it. Let's go at it. You know, I'm one that tackles challenges big time. And
would you say controlled chaos is a good one?
Controlled chaos in
our
business.
Oh, yeah. Right, because there's no way you have what you have without a level of discipline.
Yeah.
But you're willing to be raw and entrepreneurial.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's
let me ask you a question at 50.
Yeah.
Cause I love your story. So I'll use me fast to give you, to set you up to give a good answer to this. I had to go through things in my 40s where I had to realize my kryptonite, cause God, things were working and continue to work. Mm-hmm. But my inability to be candorous to people I cared about, the world, that's what Gary Vee was built on. I was built on candor. But on one-on-one, if I cared about you, it was hard for me to deliver negative feedback. And it led to a lot of sloppiness in all 30 years of my career. Mm. Firing people sloppy, resentment towards them towards me, because they would be surprised by the firing because I never said anything. Yeah. And then I'm like, you're fired. And they're like, what the fuck? Because I wasn't able to give them candor along the way. At 50, you know, going through everything you've gone through and to build this into this incredible place you are now, what do you think was the hardest lesson for you to learn that you're starting to actually do better in the last 5 years? Anything stand out?
You know, I think with the past I had, you know, and years ago, and this is what launched me, and it took me a while to kind of understand it. You know, in 11th grade, I walked into the principal's office and for an issue that happened, and I saw my name on this board, and I looked up at it, and I asked, I said, why is my name on the board? And I knew what it said at the top. There was like 50 names. And he said, we're not talking about that today. We're talking about something else. And then I went back and asked him, I said, I don't know why my name's on the board. And he said, well, that's the dropout list. And immediately I knew society was dictating my future, and it pissed me off. You know, so when I built this company, I let that driving force at that point.
Meaning that was a list of them saying these people will be
probably
dropping
drop
out.
Probably because, drop you out. Know, I didn't have a.
And so you interpreted that as you guys are making me drop out.
Or you think I'm going to drop out. You're predicting me to drop out because I didn't come from a good household.
Right, right, right.
I didn't, you know, I didn't study hard. I didn't get good grades.
Yeah.
The only reason I passed is, and I graduated 2 years late, man.
Yeah.
You know, I graduated in third grade. I mean, graduated 2 years late. I missed, had to be held back in third grade because my mom wasn't around. So I didn't really get to go to class. So they held me back. And then my senior year, they held me back because I failed English. So that was a kind of a driving factor for me. So it took me a long time to figure this out. But I do this with my team now. And I do tell, I am gracious now. And I tell them all, you know, the day I walk into one of our restaurants and I tell you everything's 100%, it looked perfect. It's the day you want to quit this company.
Yeah.
Because that means I've moved on.
Yeah, it means you became complacent.
I've given up.
That's right.
I said, so every day I walk in here, I might find one thing wrong, but don't be upset about it. Don't be thinking, man, Chris is too hard on me. Just understand I'm trying to drive us to be best.
Can I tell you something that's exploded in my company for our success with 2,000 people? I've told leaders to start using, in my subjective opinion, before they say things. Mm. And it has become one of the most wonderful operational things that I've ever done. By you saying to him, literally, and you guys have such a, you guys are brothers at this point, mm-hmm. you've worked so long, right? Mm-hmm. But by literally saying, hey brother, in my subjective opinion, like I think the way we're doing the fountain sodas is completely wrong. There's something profound when a leader says, in my subjective opinion, that takes a lot of the steam out of it. That I have found to be, I mean, I'm literally getting goosebumps.
Yeah.
Like, it's a, words matter.
Yeah.
Hey, in my subjective opinion, it's profound what that's done.
In my subjective opinion.
I
want to use that.
I hope you do. I'll tell you why. Because it allows us to get our shit across, but mitigate misinterpretation and intent.
Of someone telling you what to do.
Yeah, this sign's fucked up.
Yeah.
That's very different to being to a manager like, hey, in my subjective opinion, I think that sign is gonna hurt us. Yeah. It's like.
That's a good leader trait.
And then 100%. And then obviously this is, that sign's fucked up. That's the extreme of like the bad version of a boss. But even if you're like, hey, I think, or that sign is fucked up, let's fix that. Like nicely said. Is still a mile away from like, hey, in my subjective opinion, that sign's fucked up. Mm. There's something there.
In my subjective opinion, this camera angle is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
It is good.
But you know what I mean?
Like, I think I put
it's really crazy to hear that. Like, it lands.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, like
they put their dukes down. They put the wall down a little bit.
Yeah,
you know?
our job is to make people feel safe.
That's right.
The thing is, you look like a Greek god from every camera angle. So you really? Can't say that. Yeah.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, man.
So my answer is a lot less deep than yours. But when I looked at this, I'm a well-rounded warthog. Because he looks like the happiest character out of everyone here. Yeah, that's right here.
Wow.
Yeah, he is happy. Yeah. So you went visual. You went visual.
I went visual, yeah.
It's been fun doing this, watching people either go visual, go with the word, the adjective, or go with the character. Yeah. So you went visual.
I went visual.
I love
it. I also like how all his scores, aura, skill, and stamina, are the same. Because they're all three words for the same thing.
Like, itch,
good little subtle pickup that a lot of people haven't. I watch everything the BeFriends communities. I've done so many Easter eggs that have never been landed on. That's one. It's well rounded. That's why the scores are the same.
I have the bullish bull.
Oh man!
Ooh, you got a lamp.
He's got a foil.
Oh, you got a foil, bro.
And I got the freaking sweet honey fireball.
Let's go. Yeah.
Hey, Devin, I need that. You got to give me that. That's my character.
Look it up on eBay. It's worth a couple bucks. Make sure.
Really? Okay, I'll trade you gift cards. Okay. Right. I'll trade you gift cards.
I would say though, I like the bullish bull also because I don't follow trends. I like setting trends, and I'm very bullish on that. Yeah. Like if there's a trend, I almost like go the other way.
Yeah, I get
you
that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that.
And so I'm super bullish on that.
Do you protect your creativity on that? One of the things I tend to do is I want to know everything, but if it's a trend, I'll tend to not go deep on it because I don't want it to affect me fully.
Yeah, I agree.
I live in a little bit of a cocoon.
And that's what I was saying about the NFC.
I know he's like beating it up.
Yeah. Like the NFC versus AFC. Like, if you were like, Dev, what team? I have no idea. And like, that's high level, but like, that's for celebrity names. That's
for just how you roll.
Sport. Mm-hmm. I just like, I kind of am in my own head a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
You know?
I think it's a good place to be. I think if your own head is a beautiful place, you should live there all day.
I'm always
that's
there,
where I'm
man.
At. That's where I'm at.
I'm always there.
Anyway, I'm gonna go with the driven dragon. I mean, empathy elephant. I mean, I truly think empathy is my superpower. Yeah. And I love curiosity and I love being eager, but I'm going driven dragon today because, you know, I will say this. I like the other day, the reason I'm probably doing it is the other day I'm like, you know when like you think something about yourself and then it happens for long enough where you're like proud to your own self with your own self of you're like, I don't know how much you guys talk to each other, but I'm like pumped. Like good. It's almost like walking out of my own body and being like, I'm proud that you delivered on what you were telling me.
Oh yeah.
That there's a little bit of that going on with me right now, which is like, I always thought that like, I'm just hungry and like in a healthy way. And like, I was always curious when I was 20, knowing that I was gonna do what I was gonna do. Yeah. Like, would it go away? And like the other day, I was just kind of with myself, like literally walking from the Starbucks to my apartment, three steps. I was just like, well, you're fucking 48. And like, I gotta tell you, you're pretty fucking driven right now. Like, and you put a lot of wins on the board. Like, I'm pretty pumped you weren't full of shit. Like, just it's like my 20. Yeah, literally. So that's why I think
I picked. But I'm not the only one.
I do that a lot, man. Like, and it, even if it's small wins, it doesn't always have to be big wins. It's just like, all right, Deb, you fucking showed up. You did what you said you were going to do. You took care of this person.
Affirmation to yourself.
Yeah. Have you ever taken a month off?
No.
Never.
But I can't believe you just said that. I said to somebody last night, I flirted with this. You've probably heard this from me, Dust. I've been flirting for a long time with something called, and I want to kind of popularize it, called Disappear December.
Disappear December.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Whereas if you're someone like me that's pretty actively communicating on the internet, forget about consuming, because that's many people who are on just the consuming end have deleted the app for a while, detoxed. Yeah. That's common.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying for the millions and millions and millions and millions of people who are now contributing to content.
Yeah.
I kind of think there's something very opportunistic about Disappear December. So I won't take a month off. Yeah. But if I took a month off of producing content, to just give myself that kind, and I think December's interesting because you get those 10 days where you're with your, or 14 days, or with family or however one rolls. If you're like me and others that are doing a lot of stuff, like
December's a good month to do it, by the way.
Yeah, the first half of December is very important. You're like wrapping up the year, setting up the year. You want to kind of enjoy your couple of weeks during the holidays, so you're going frantic, even if you're buying presents or different. So I don't know. It's funny you said that. I've never done that, but I've not been able to call my own bluff. I've been talking to myself probably five of the last 7 years in October, November, like this is the year. And I think this might end up being the year.
Let's do it.
I'm gonna hold you to it.
Yes.
I wish you could. The problem is I don't give a fuck what you all think. And so if I decide on December 1st, I want to keep posting, I do that all the time.
Man.
Anyway, thank you boys for being on the show. I wish you well.
Thank you.
Where can people find you if they were really captivated by some of the things you said?
All right, man, we're on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
Where?
Chris, Aspire to Be Chris on, what are we on, Instagram?
Right there.
Yeah.
There we go.
It's all up there.
Aspire to Be Hospitality.
Group.
Love it.
And then our YouTube channel is our podcast channel, People Bring Profit.
At People Bring Profit. Yeah. LinkedIn, Justin Smith.
Love it. Vinay, you have Vinay Media? I like that.
Vinay Media.
That's interesting. Why'd you do that?
My friend changed it as a joke and I just kept it there. 9 years ago.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That's cool. So you're at Vinay Media. Yeah,
it's really funny. This Instagram handle was used for a trademark lawsuit.
Wow.
I got very lucky, yeah. Someone forged something I said, but put Vinay Manda, and I never had that proof.
Unbelievable.
Deb,
you could just follow me on TikTok, Instagram.
Spell it out because there's a little more.
D-E-V-O-N, L as in Larry, E as in Edward, V as in Victor, E as in Edward, S as in Sam, Q as in Queen, U as in Umbrella, and E as in Edward. Devin LeBake. And I should be standing at the top of Mount Everest in, it's about 46 days now.
Can't
we be documenting this? I'm gonna be following you watching this, man.
I'll be at the summit, man.
I'm gonna be sending you high fives when you make it,
brother.
Thank you, man. Excited. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Appreciate it.